Amen. Enjoy the song service and that. God's blessings on the song service. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter 32. And before I forget it, we have someone here from Columbia, South Carolina, that goes to the church where Robbie Moore pastors. Robbie was here, he's a preacher. He was here about year 2000, 2001, something like that. And he left here to go pastor in Asheville, then he went to Hendersonville, and now he's in Columbia. Anyway, his birthday is coming up, and he has a birthday card out there. If anyone knows Robbie Moore and remembers him, it would be good if you go by that table and sign that birthday card. Wish him good luck. And he married Miss Cindy Maxwell off of Hooper's Creek. Lovely young lady. In the book of Genesis, chapter 32. We'll mostly be in Genesis chapter 33 tonight. But this morning's message was kind of a preview of chapter 33. So we have to go back and make sure everybody, and everybody wasn't here, brings it up to date a little bit. We're talking about Jacob. And Jacob, remember, was the grandson of Abraham, the son of Isaac. Married a wonderful lady from the Far East, Rachel, and Leah. Had 11 sons, and at this particular time, and one daughter. And God spoke to him when they were was over with father-in-law Laban, and says, time to go home. And so we know that God spoke to Jacob and used him madly. He increased his flocks. He increased him in children, just increased him, increased him. But there was a problem going home, because when he went home, he had to face some unknowns. Because his brother Esau, the one that he had beguiled, the one that he had taken the place of, Surplanter is the name, that he was out to get him. He had told his mother, and he swore to himself the fact that I'm going to kill him. 20 years later, God says, go home. So he's worried about his flock. He's worried about his 11 sons, one daughter. He's worried definitely about Rachel and Leah. And everything he owns is all tied up. And he knows that he has to get in touch with God. Very strange situation. He must empty of himself at the time of all the things that was in his heart. Now, he was a righteous man. God had blessed him. He had increased him. And we know God spoke to him. He was a good man. And it relates to you and I sometimes. You know, we serve God. We're going about his business. But there's a time when God just requires more of that heart searching. Because if the blessings come the way he wants to bless us, and if we are to be what he wants us to be, that means we got to come clean with God. So we looked this morning at leading, letting the Lord enlighten my darkness will be the subject tonight. But this morning we looked at wrestling, the face-to-face in the darkness. Now, it'd be one thing to wrestle someone you didn't even know who they were in the daylight, but he's on the mountain. He has sent everyone across the brook Jabbok, and there he is alone at night, alone with God. He needs God's touch because Esau has already been told him 400 men is with him. If there's anything like Esau, there's a lot of danger out there. And Laban himself chased him 7 days because he ran off 3 days before he knew about with his daughters. Of course, he had the right to do that, but Laban didn't think so. So he has a lot to worry about. So we looked this morning at face to face. And first of all, he had to face the reality of the situation. This could be life or death, not only for me, but everything I own. All my loved ones have to face reality. Sometimes we do that in the dark. What's it really like out there? What's the future like? We don't know. We have to come face to face with that reality. Then the second thing is he started wrestling. It's interesting that he wants to intercede to God to have God protect him. And the next thing he knows, he's in a wrestling match. I don't think he initiated it, and he don't know who it's with. But he's getting the best of him nonetheless. And finally, he realizes that this person I'm wrestling with is not a mortal man. It's something more than Hosea tells us very clearly that it is an angel of the Lord. Jacob's getting the best of him, for sure. And as he's getting the best of him, the angel touches him. Instead of blessing him, he reaches and touches the hollow of his thigh and disjoints it. And the rest of his life, he's going to be disjointed and a cripple. He thought he was going to get a blessing. And sometimes when you meet up with the things of God and you're wrestling, you're struggling, didn't plan it. But God's done right. He has done right. He's doing right. He will do right. And Jacob never one time argued about it. He never thought God had done him wrong, because God can't do any wrong. And then we look thirdly at, when she realized what it was, I am in a wrestling match with an angel of the Lord. How many times in your life do you get to do that? So he had a resolve about him that he was going to take advantage and seize that opportunity. The one time that he's in face to face in the dark, and the angel of the Lord says, "Let me go. The breaking of the day is almost here." And he says, "I will not let you go until you bless me." He was resolved to take advantage. How many times has the Lord come to us? Mysterious ways, perhaps. Sometimes an angel disguised as a person. And once we realize that this is not a normal situation, we can make a resolve to take advantage of that too, and hold on and pray through until we get a blessing. He did that. And then lastly, we saw that he did get a blessing. And not only did he get a blessing, he got a name changed. His name was changed no more to Supplanter Jacob, Israel. Israel means God prevails. And when you're not coming to realize in their life, we've emptied ourselves of ourselves. It's no more about me. My life will let God prevail in my life. That's what Israel means. And so now he has had this revelation. It's been revealed to him that God has met him face to face. And he has been blessed. Of course, he has a curse too, but that don't seem to bother him. We'll pick up that story as we go into the last of chapter 29. And then he had a name for that place. The Bible says he called it Peniel, facing God, face to face. He said to himself, "I have met God face to face in the dark." And now as he's leaving that place, he realizes that he has to make a revelation to the world of what God has revealed to him. It's not just enough that you and I have the blessings from God, but we leave that time and we have to go to the world and let the world, let them reveal to the world what God's already revealed to us. And Jacob's going to do a right nice job of it, because he has thoroughly emptied himself. The reason that came about is God, the angel just asked him a question. It seemed to get the job done. "What is thy name?" I know who you are. You're the grandson of Abraham, and you're the son of Isaac, but that's not what I'm after. What is your name deep down inside? What makes you tick? The real you. And he had to confess, Surplanter. Once he confessed it, the blessing came. It's an automatic when you get that place with God. Let's read the last two verses, chapter 32. And as he passed over Peniel, he changed the name of that place, remember, facing God, as the sun rose upon him and he halted upon his thigh. No complaints. I've been blessed, but I've got a limp the rest of my life. And I'm walking that way, but I'm walking as a new man.
Therefore, the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the sinew that shrank. So we'll pick up today, tonight, and we'll look at the thought. Let in the Lord enlighten our darkness. He's been in the darkness, all right, but he has been enlightened because the light of the world, the angel of light, came and visited him. Let's read some scripture found in Psalms 18, verse 28, 29, and 30. Let in the Lord enlighten the darkness. After you met him and after you've emptied yourself, and he's crossed the brook now, and he's on his way to reveal to the world what God's revealed to him, letting the Lord enlighten the darkness. Psalms 18, 28, for thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. And he did, and he will, for anyone that seizes the opportunity and the struggle. The struggle we face a lot of times is not with the world. Sometimes it's not with the devil. Sometimes it's with God and ourselves. He wants some things, and he shows some things to us that we don't like. And we shy away from it. And we think the struggle that we go through that he sends our way is not of God. And therefore, we're not enlightened. We didn't take advantage of it. I think that happens a lot in our life, that God sends something in our path. And that struggle is about us and our relationship to God. And we don't deal with it. We shrug it off. But the blessing won't come either. But now, David is the one writing this Psalms, and David, remember, is a man after God's own heart. And verse 29 says, for by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall, because I have been enlightened. He strengthened me. He blessed me. He gave me strength. And so the walls may be tall, but he enables me to leap over them. And there's a troop out there, more than one perhaps, a lot of enemies out there facing us. But if you've been enlightened by the Lord, you just run right through them. Circumstance, and the troops represent the circumstance. Don't make a hill of beans difference, the circumstance don't. Not if you've been enlightened, and you've been strengthened, and you've been blessed. Yeah, the struggles may come, and they may leave some scars. That's okay. The blessings is quite worth it. Verse 30, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. Those are David's words. And of course, a buckler, a shield to those that walk uprightly. And when David was facing the giants, the way he faced the giants was to live righteously. And if you live righteously and you let God search your heart and you're willing to let God struggle with you to get rid of that thing that you know is wrong or you don't even know about, perhaps. But I want to look at these thoughts tonight. First of all, now that he's on his way, verse 1 of chapter 33 says, okay, he leaves that place, Penuel, and he's headed out to face the world. Genesis 33, 1. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children into Leah and into Rachel and into the two handmaids. He's been enlightened. He's been promised a blessing, but still he's a little bit worried. He knows who he puts first. Leah, the least favored one, didn't want to really marry her. He kind of got surprised when he had her. He's send her out first with her children. If I don't want to lose anybody. If I do, I don't want it to be Rachel. Then the Bible says, and he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindmost. His favorite one, of course, was closest to safety. And that's the way we do a lot in life, is it not? We try to figure it all out. and try to do God's work for him best we can. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Notice that after an enlightenment with God, he is now having a reunion with a sworn enemy. Isn't that just like God? The enemy that had purposed in their heart to come and kill him, and we don't know his full intent, but we do know what he promised 20 years ago. Now he's got 400 men to back it up, but Jacob spent with God. He's been enlightened. He's met the Lord of hosts, and he's been blessed. And he now, not only has his name changed, but he's called a prince. And now as he meets, the reunion takes place. Not only can God change your heart, but he can change all the people that's against your heart. He did that over and over with his servants. God can touch anyone on your behalf if you and I are right with God. And the Bible says, verse 6, then the handmaidens came near, they and their children, and they bowed themselves. And Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves. And after came Joseph near and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. All 11 children and the daughter and the handmaids, everyone's bowing to Esau. And now what's Esau going to do? Well, first of all, he met him in everything is all right. The reunion's taking place. God arranged that. He can arrange anything in my life and your life. Then the Bible says in verse 8, and he said, what meaneth thou by all this drove which I met? And he said, these are to find grace in thy sight, my Lord. And Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep that which thou hast until thou sayest. See, Esau was mad because Jacob got the birthright and God gave him all the blessings. He deceived his brother to do it, deceived his father. But now it's all forgiven. Why? Because Jacob met the Lord face to face. And he held on until the blessing came. But not only that, look what happens in the next verse. Next two verses. This is when I was reading this again today. He has to reveal, remember, God's made a revelation to him, and now his job is he leads renewal across Jabbok to reveal to others what God's revealed to him. Look carefully, verse 33, or verse 10, chapter 33. And Jacob said, nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand. Listen carefully. For therefore I have seen thy face, as though I had seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me. God had revealed to him not only himself after he asked God to, but he revealed to him and he could see his brother's face. And he could see that everything's going to be all right. Boy, it pays to get in touch with God and to stay there until the blessing comes. Just seems to take care of all these problems that we're so worried about and so fearful of. And then he says, I have seen that face as though I had seen the face of God. When I was looking at God, he allowed me to look into your face even though you were not there. And thou wast pleased with me. Even before I met you, and I was worried, how foolish of me to worry because God's always going to take care of my problem is if I'll submit my life to him. And God let me see your face, and there was a smile. You were pleased with me. All the worry is gone, all the fear is gone. Why? Because he is willing to go out and reveal to Esau what God revealed to him. That's my job, and that's your job. When we study, it shows several proofs. And when we live a life that's pleasing before God, and when he shows us some things, and when he allows us to have Christ in our heart, the love that he puts in our heart, we're to reveal that to a lost and dying world, and surely we'll reveal it to one another, how God loved us. Lastly, he reared up an altar, a permanent place of worship. When God does something for you, you just don't forget it. You just want to worship him over and over and over. No wonder David says that can't wait to get the house of God. And that's in my heart and your heart. We've been reared in the house of God, many of us. You went to the house of God if you're breathing. It's a little boy I did. We wouldn't never discuss my family's house. Sunday morning, revivals night. Are you breathing? Well, we're going to the house of God. It wouldn't even say. We just got ready and went. Listen carefully. Verse 17. And Jacob journeyed to Succoth and built him a house and made booths for his cattle. Therefore, the name of the place is called Succoth. And Jacob came to Shalem, the city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, when he came from Padan-Aram and pitched his tent before the city. And he bought a parcel of a field where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. And he erected there an altar and called it Eloah Israel. Let's dwell on that for a little bit. He reared up an altar after he revealed to Esau what God had revealed to him. After the reunion that God had arranged and it went just like God wanted it to arrange, the word erected means to set up, to be stationary, to be something in your life that is more important than anything else. He erected it. The word erected means that. It means a determination to stand, a determination to bow before a holy God, and that will establish you an altar. He erected that altar. He reared up that altar. Altar, a place of worship. It's a dedicated place that when I wake up in the middle of the night, and I usually do almost every night, probably every night, first thing's on my mind, get up out of bed, go in the living room, and face Washington, D.C., that's our nation's capital, and pray for America, and looking straight over toward Washington, D.C., almost a beeline over where my son Darren lives. And it's a place that God meets with me, a dedicated place. Not just once a day, but many times a day, we ought to have that altar experience. And lastly, we'll look at that name, Eloah Israel. The altar he set up means the mighty God of Israel, the God that took all the worry away, the God that allowed me to come face to face with him. And I latched on it. I took advantage of the opportunity. And now I'm showing the world what he means to me. And I'm showing God what he means to me. I have reared this altar. And it's the altar dedicated to my mighty God. Wouldn't that be good in our life if we had a place more than one time? And God be looking for us many times. God will tell me specifically. He doesn't speak to me audibly, though he could. He speaks to me clearer than that. He'll tell me to go to a certain place to pray. And I can't wait to get there. Sometimes it's 4 or 5 days away. But when I get there, and I don't know why he does it. He's God. I guess he's just checking to see if I'm dedicated to him. And the journey is so wonderful just to know that I know he knows me. Would you stand tonight, your head's bowed? Let in the Lord enlighten our darkness. In the middle of the night, when you're all alone with God, nobody there to help, nobody could help. All the unforeseen, all the things we don't know about, and God meets you. May be a wrestling match. May be some struggles. He may be wanting some stuff out of you that you don't want to give. But once you recognize who it is, and you see that it's not the world, and it's not the devil, and it's not your enemy, it's an almighty God, and you latch on to it. You don't get that opportunity every day. You might get it once a month. You might get it once in a lifetime. Seize the opportunity and lay hold on it. You'll be blessed. Oh, you may be partly lose the struggle, and there's a battle, and he's limping all his life. He never complained about that. Didn't make a hill of beans difference to him. I met God. Reunion with my brother. Revelation to the world what he means to me, and reared up an altar in the name of my God, my Redeemer. Would you come to the piano, organ, play whatever God puts on your heart? Your time and my time. To be obedient to him. If he says come pray, you need to come pray. Whatever he says, do it. No arguments. Take the opportunity. It doesn't matter what he asked you to do. It's the fact that he asked you to do it. That the God of the universe would care enough about us to ask us to do anything and meet with us. Wow. That's something else, isn't it? Who is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man that has visited him. Opportunity is they play. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day. For every day. Lord, there's burdens and cares and all kinds of circumstances. And they seem to be so light when we come face to face with you. When we know you care for us and you reveal yourself to us. And many times you heal and we're asking you to do that. Whatever you do is going to be right. It's just the fact that we can talk to you, worship you, and leave this place and reveal to others what you mean to us. The world is hungry for that. They're looking for somebody to share as Jacob was willing to do. And no doubt Esau saw the difference. Man 20 years before that was a deceiver, surplanter, and here he is given of his sheep, his camels, bowing, having his family bow 7 times apiece. Esau, no doubt, said, boy, he must have been with somebody, not mortal man. This brother of mine's changed. And it seems to soften Esau's heart. That's the way you work. Working through us and in us. The hope of glory. We love you because you loved us with an everlasting love. And we thank you. In Jesus' precious, holy, wonderful name we pray. Take care of the needs of our hearts, our lives, and the people that's hurting. In Jesus' name, amen.